Mini episode 220 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Outside the Box Score, your home on the web for entertaining sports columns and videos. Follow them on the web at OutsideTheBoxScoreBlog.com.
The FDH Lounge. You'll want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, folks, welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 220. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross breaking down NFL Week 14 for you. It's been a pretty good season for both of us here on the picks. For me last week, 9-7 on all the games, 2-1 on my big three, 0-1 on the lock. Unfortunately, that was the exception to the rule. 97, 92, and 3 on all of the games this year, 20-18 and 1 on the big three, 7-6 on the lock picks. 54% there. That 54% is less than Kyle Ross's 61% on his recommended plays through the season here. A sterling 2-1 week, 30-19-1 for the season for the aforementioned 61% clip verified that Kyle Ross is putting up this year. So, Kyle, congratulations on another very strong week and another very strong season.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, a couple ugly wins last week, though, for me. I mean, let's not think that these were great winners by any means. But the second time in, I believe, 3 weeks, I used both the Browns and Cardinals en route to a win season. It just goes to show, you got to stay off these public teams. And I got more ugly plays for you this week, too. Just a little spoiler alert.
Okay.
I mean, it ain't going to be your favorite teams, Radio Land, that I'm picking this week.
Well, again, we always just kind of gloss over the Thursday night game. If you're looking for an ugly one, because, again, we probably won't have this up by game time. If you're looking for an ugly one, Oakland certainly would be. They're getting 10.5. You're not catching this probably in time. You've got to check the FDH Lounge Twitter account for this. But the pick there, my pick is Oakland getting the 10.5 in this one here. I'm guessing this is not a recommended play for you.
No.
Okay.
And it's tough to make a case for the Raiders, but I'm going to. Mm-hmm. But first, I mean, the Raiders, they have some ugly numbers.
They do.
Listen to this. This is not breaking news, but it's something I discovered while you were speaking.
Okay.
In games where they did not play teams named the Cleveland Browns, Kansas City Chiefs, Jacksonville Jaguars, or San Diego Chargers,
mm-hmm.
all of whom stink, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
These are how many points the Raiders have given up to everyone else. 35, 31, 37, 23. By the way, that was to Atlanta, in Atlanta. Kind of an interesting anomaly there. That, you know, at Atlanta would be the anomaly. 42, 55, 38, 34. So in every game they've played a team that doesn't stink, they've basically given up at least 30 points. You have to like Denver's shot chances to get to 30 here. But, you know, Dennis Allen, you know, you always hate to make light of a tragedy for betting purposes. But, you know, we saw with Kansas City last week again. You know, we don't want to certainly, we're going to tap dance on that subject, I'm sure. But sometimes it carries a team. The way these Thursday night games go, I would have no interest in laying 10 points with anybody. So I would give a small agreement with you on the Raiders. I mean, certainly not one of my big three. But, you know, Denver's probably going to get to 30, which means, you know, you're going to need Oakland to get to hopefully 21, which is tough. So bet on your own. Please be advised. Bet with caution Thursday night.
Exactly.
On this AFC West matchup.
And for as much as the Raiders need a rallying point right now, would it be reprehensible of me to say, I hope the medical facility his dad's at has a metal detector at the gates?
Oh, come on. I'll tell you what. One thing I did hear this morning. I don't know if you heard about this. The John Gruden rumors. I might become a Raiders fan if that's true. Again,
John Gruden to go back.
They're talking to him apparently. Well, see, it's coming out once again. My gut instinct is always right. You know mm-hmm. that I always surmise that there. You know, I mean, everyone knew there was a little bit of a rift between Al Davis and John Gruden at the end there. I mean. Why would you get rid of a coach who took your team that was the definition of mediocre for 10 years, made them great?
Allen clearly has no fear of ghosts, if that's the case.
Well, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I've always said it, and I'll maintain it till the day I go to the great beyond. Al Davis was jealous that John Gruden became the face of that organization.
Sure.
The whole Chucky mantra. He was jealous, and he didn't want to give Gruden his money, and so Gruden stuck it to him in that Super Bowl. So I'd love to see John Gruden back, because I've been bitter. It was very difficult for me even to root for the Raiders when they made the Super Bowl under the fine Bill Callahan. So I'd like to see that for the Raiders. By the way, Denver's won. Denver has scored 30 or more in six of their seven games during the current win streak.
But I think one of the things we're looking at here, the Thursday night game is a real equalizer. How fugly those games are.
It boils down to the fact that, you know, Denver's kind of due for an off game. They've had a few too. I mean, the last 2 weeks they've been close. So
they have been. Looking at the rest of the schedule here, the Battle of the Beltway leads off our Sunday look here. The fiscal cliff has nothing on this one.
Here we go.
The Baltimore Ravens are at Washington. And Washington is, again, they started the week, this started as a pick'em. Washington now a little bit closer to what your standard would be for a home team under the circumstances here, as the line, I believe, at this point up to 2.5.
Yeah.
And, so it's risen during the week. It's something where the public, I think, really clearly likes the Redskins at this point. And
it's because the Monday night game. I mean, that's very typical. Whenever a team is off a national TV win, you're going to see that spike in the public eye, whether it's warranted or not.
Right. And it's a thing where, again, and this might sound a little bit strange because I've been a little bit slow to believe in Washington. I've been higher on Baltimore all year than you've been. And yet, again, I think this is a sign of my open-mindedness here. I'm on the Redskins. I'm going to go with the hotter team under the circumstances. I think it's going to be a shootout. But I think right now, again, with that vaunted pistol offense, Colin Kaepernick, call your office. But I think it's one of these situations here where, you know, until it gets solved, and it will in short order, it's kind of hard to go against the Skins.
Well, you know, it's nice to see Barack Obama, not the only black man bringing change to Washington. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, I'm kind of with you. I think the Ravens may be in the John Boehner role come Sunday when they're told what to do. Your boy, how about that? For that, I was working on that one. I wanted you to keep going. I was like, I got to get all these references down.
Not but my boy, but close.
Here's the thing. Last week on the program, I kind of gave a little spoiler when I said, you know, I'm really going to look to this Washington at home against Baltimore. I've backed off, and I'm going to tell you why. I was surprised by the results both of these teams had last week.
Okay.
Baltimore losing outright to the rival Steelers with Charlie Batch, quarterback. What a win for Pittsburgh. We'll talk about them in a little bit. And then Washington, not a total shock that they beat the Giants on Monday Night Football, but a little bit to me. You know, the Giants kind of went in the tank in the second half there. So I'd give a small – I'm still going to give a small lean to Washington. I'd agree with you.
Okay.
On your, but it's – I mean, it's not one of my big ones, but a small lean to Washington. And I'm going to tell you why. Baltimore, A, is overrated to begin with.
You've been saying that for a long time now.
Well, I can expound on that position here.
Sure.
We've got a little more time this week.
Sure.
You know, we're in person. Nice to see you, by the way.
Yes.
You're looking very good, very
Thank
svelte.
You.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I like what you've done here with the paint job on this place.
Well, you know, I certainly didn't lift one brush, I'll tell you that much. I mean, if you think. But Baltimore, I've said it before. Their best game was in week one, Monday night game. 44-13 over Cincinnati. They crushed the Bengals in the second half.
And notwithstanding their record, it's all been downhill since there?
I'd say so. Well, they killed Oakland 55-20.
Okay.
But
it's Oakland.
The Raiders. Since then, here's Baltimore's results. Here's your great 9-3 team, everybody. Or, yeah, they're 9-3, right?
Yes,
that's their record. Is it 9-2, 8-3?
9-3.
9-3. Okay, thank you, Kimo Savi. Here's your great Baltimore team since beating Cincinnati. Lost by one to Philly. That looks horrible now. Beat New England by one. Beat Cleveland by seven. Beat Kansas City by three. Dallas by two. Lost to Houston by 30. Beat Cleveland by 10. The win over the Raiders, 55-20. That looks good. Beat a Steelers team that was without Big Ben by three. Beat a no-account San Diego team by three. By the way, they probably should have lost, but unfortunately, North Turner's still employed. And then they lost last week to Pittsburgh. I'm telling you, this is a definite go-against team for me come playoff time.
Yeah, I don't think they have a deep run in them, especially with the injuries on that defense.
Now, I know we disagree here. I like Ray Lewis a lot, and it's easier for me to root against the Ravens without Ray Lewis in there, without that heart and soul. And I'd like to make one more point here about Baltimore.
Yeah.
averaging just 16.5 points per game on the road. That's not enough to keep pace with this Washington. No. Now, Washington's pass defense last week, now it's standing, stinks for the most part. They have gotten a little better, though. Washington, not the best home team. They had lost 9 of 11. Mm-hmm. What do they call it? Is it still RFK, the new RFK?
FedEx,
FedEx, that's right.
Whatever.
Before the win over the Giants. I'd give a small lean to Washington, though. Small lean. Don't like how the money's come in on them, though, and the last week's results. Had Washington not won Monday night, I actually would have liked it more. It's one of those weird things of mine.
I can understand that. Kind of hard to get a line on this next one here because the situation with good old Raplesberger there. 4-8.
That's uncalled for.
San Diego at 7-5 Pittsburgh. And, again, you were telling me
that's
that you were able
uncalled
to,
for.
You were able to find a line at, like, 7 points.
Yeah, BetOnline has this one currently up at 7.
Okay, and I'd be inclined to weigh it under the circumstances. I you make a very good case based on last week, as putrid as Charlie Batch is. Tell me that they couldn't beat a San Diego team coming halfway across the country, trademark Kyle Ross, if they could beat Baltimore. So, yeah, in either instance, I think the Steelers are going to cover this one.
San Diego, who may have quit on the season. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty harsh accusation to make of a professional sports franchise. They quit. Do you know who their four wins are against this year? Two were against Kansas City, one against Oakland, one against Tennessee.
None of those should even count.
I have those teams, those three teams, all in my bottom five.
Yeah.
Oakland and Kansas City are my bottom two. I even have Oakland below Jacksonville now at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's tough. Here's the thing. Chargers have lost now, what, 7 of 8? The one win was over Kansas City, I believe, on a Thursday, if memory serves me correct. It's the only game they've covered the spread during that stretch. They did push with Denver in the rematch, not the game that they gagged infamously on Monday night that really tanked their season.
Mm-hmm.
So, early start time, like you mentioned, I have no interest in West Coast teams playing at 1 o'clock. But Pittsburgh's kind of in a natural letdown spot off the win over Baltimore, aren't they?
They are, and they
so this one's a pass for me. I can't.
They got a game,
especially with the line kind of up in the air and Roethlisberger's status up in the air. Who knows what they're going to do with him? They may look to keep it conservative. The Steelers will win the game, but I'm a little leery.
Let me ask you this.
Ask me.
Oh no, go ahead.
I was gonna make a point that that I know you disagree with, and we maybe
all
get
right.
another tangent.
I want to get your definition here of because this here might be a sandwich game here, as they say, with Baltimore. Would it meet the criteria of that? Let me ask you this, because this is a rival purely in the historic sense. Their next game is against Dallas.
No.
It's that rivalry between the franchises is not was so that's not a look ahead game.
This ain't Tom Landry and Chuck Noll. I mean, a lot of these guys. You know what's sad, and I'm not like trying to cast aspersions on anyone, but you know, you hear things like Ryan Tannehill didn't even know what division some of these teams are in.
Yeah,
I bet you if you polled half of the players, they don't know Pittsburgh and Dallas played a bunch of times in the Super Bowl in the 70s. Multiple times. They don't.
That would be pathetic, actually. All right, so what's the point I'm going to disagree with?
I have Pittsburgh number 5 in my power rankings.
Wow. I don't have them on my top tier.
There's a
they
lot,
got a lot
of
to
people.
Prove to me at this
there's
point.
A lot of people, and by a lot of people, I mean people you don't care for.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Your Colin Cowards, your Trent Dilfers.
You name two people I don't care for.
And how do you not like Trent Dilfer? I know you don't like Coward, but.
Well, Trent Dilfer's a bitterman who doesn't realize that
at that stage
of his career, he wasn't fit to do anything more than hold a clipboard for Charlie Fry. That clearly was the case. He's just a bitter guy. Kind of like Doug Flutie. Like Doug Flutie type.
Now, that's another one that I can't understand. How do you not like Flutie flakes?
Because Doug Flutie's just a guy who couldn't accept his role. You're a clipboard holder, dude. You're a tiny little guy. You're good for a spark off the bench. But Doug Flutie, let's be real, was no Rob Johnson.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. No one listens to either Rob Johnson or your boy Chaz Fryer right now, okay? Yeah, the only people listening to them are the people, you know, doing discount shopping at Walmart at 9 in the morning, okay? Now,
well, those greeter positions have a high platform.
Yeah, but those. But those.
Yes. Sorry, didn't mean to rattle you there.
Yes, but. I think the Steelers, I mentioned this a couple times throughout the year, high ceiling for them. I could see them winning out.
Sure.
I could see them winning out and possibly winning a playoff game. I'm not going to go as far as some of these people who think that this team can make a Super Bowl run in them. But, hey, remember, who last year at this time thought the 7-7 Giants. I mean, granted, it was a little, but a couple weeks after the 7-7 Giants would win the Super Bowl. The Steelers have done it before too. They've kind of been 500, and they got. I mean, the last three Super Bowl winners have been like that. Green Bay got in the play 2 years ago.
This could be a repeat of that.
You got to look for that team who gets hot. Yeah. And with at Dallas, which quite frankly is one of the easiest venues to win at in the league for a road team.
Right.
And then home for Cincinnati and Cleveland. I see a 10-6 finish for Pittsburgh.
Could very well happen. Yeah, I don't have them on my top tier yet. They could crash at some point, certainly. This next one here, a game with ties between the two teams and a very curious line move. The Browns.
The Browns.
Your imitation of boat shoes is better than mine. They're laying 6.5 in this one, up from 4.5 earlier in the week. Kansas City, of course, coached by Romeo Crennel, QB'd by Brady Quinn. So the parallels start there. Sadly, the parallels continue into some bad areas.
This is not shades of a potential Peyton Manning return to Indianapolis.
No,
I'll tell
it
you
is
that
not.
Much, okay? This will not have the soap opera drama of a potential Denver-Indianapolis playoff game.
No, it is not. But it's a thing, too, where, and this is just an odd thing, the sad parallels with Kansas City. They played Carolina last week where Ray Carruth, wasn't that maybe like the closest parallel to what we saw last weekend?
Oh, jeez.
And then... Yeah, I mean, that's an odd kind of coincidence.
I didn't know.
Well, there's that, and then the Browns sadly had a guy on their groundskeeping staff at hang himself at team headquarters. So it's both teams. I mean, granted, how many of the players knew the guy as well, whatever, but, I mean, it's just really, really odd that Kansas City in back-to-back weeks plays a team under that have been under, maybe similar circumstances.
Just a lot of condolences for me.
Yeah.
I'm a real bleeding heart. A lot of condolences
for
me.
Sure. I mean, it's a sad situation. And, I feel really bad. Romeo Crennel, again, I don't think he's a head coach. I think he's a great defensive coordinator. I think he's overmatched in that. But, I mean, one of the nicest guys in the league and very proud of how he's just taking charge of that situation there. I mean, he's the right man for the job at this moment.
Especially given what he saw. That's horrible.
In
that
front
story.
Of him. Yeah,
that's awful.
And this is the thing here, too. Nobody should ever kill themselves. Nobody. Having said that, if you've decided firmly you're checking out, you want to say goodbye to somebody, send them an effing text. Do not shoot yourself in the head in front of them. Okay, he was not doing Pioli and Crennel any favors there, Kyle Ross.
No, but he was obviously mentally ill.
I understand.
I'm going to make the easy transition to say.
Please get us out of this.
The first of my big three this week.
Okay.
Kansas City, plus 6.5. I liked them at 4.5. I love them at 6.5. This is a Cleveland Browns team that has not won a game by double digits in 2 years. I think the stock market's a little too high on them right now. They've won back-to-back games. But let's take a look at their four wins, shall we? Or pardon me, three. The one win I loved. Did you remember their first win of the year? They were 0-5. They hosted Cincinnati. I loved them that game. Remember, I took them.
Yeah.
Their other three wins this year, at home versus San Diego, 7-6, one of the real dog games of the year.
Yeah.
Early start time for San Diego. Thank you very much. They beat a Pittsburgh team 2 weeks ago that had a 80-year-old third-string quarterback in and turned the ball over 8 times.
Who still beat the Ravens? Let's give the Browns defense some credit for that.
That's true, but I think, again, the Ravens are overrated.
Okay.
And then last week, the Raiders are, they're just
late
nowhere.
Start time for the Browns.
Oh, here we go. I like for your answer. Here's the thing to me. So you've got wins by 3-6-1, and they did beat the Bengals by 10.
Right.
They have not won a game by more than double digit, than more than 10 in 2 years. I just can't back them. I think the market's just moved too high. I think there's going to be, again, you don't want to make light of these situations
I talked about earlier.
I think there's maybe a little momentum. Kansas City, and Carolina is qualified too, is a team that I maintain is better than its record. There's talent there. It's just been an awful year. They've actually cut the turnovers down after all those games where they were turning over four times. They only had last week, by the way, they won. Not coincidentally, the first game all year they didn't turn the ball over.
Sure.
So, good focus there. So they've only turned it over 3 times in the last 4 games. Some momentum. I'm not saying they'll win the game outright, but I could see them winning it outright.
Okay.
Kansas City, the first of my big three this week.
See, and I think Kansas City will cover and may well win. but I try to stay away from matchups that involve two very bad teams. I just find the degree of predictability goes down even further in my estimation there. So I agree with your pick. I just can't really, put my ass behind it here, so to speak. But when you're looking at this again, and the point spread 6.5, the Browns aren't better than my high school alma mater, Valley Forge High School, by 6.5 points. So I further agree with that point.
Cornell and extra minute motivation too for Cornell and Quinn.
It is
going back into Cleveland. They're going to be really focused for this one. I don't be surprised to see Kansas City's best game here.
And Brady Quinn, who I always felt got a bum rap in Cleveland. He's got all the motivation he needs at this point in time. So you and I agree on the outcome of that one. Indianapolis and Tennessee here. The Colts are hosting the Titans in a game that I'm going to guess largely because the ex-Cribble Titans are involved. Only gets Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts on this
our
one.
First announcer alert. Okay.
As opposed to one of the higher combos on the depth chart at CBS. And I can understand why under the circumstances here. This is something, again, though, in terms of looking at it, the Colts laying 5.5 here, up from 5 earlier in the week. I just keep coming back to this, though. I'll give a hat tip to USA Today Sports Weekly with a little article here. Close wins are the theme. Again, 5 of their 8 wins wouldn't have covered the 5.5 points this week. Beat Minnesota by 3, Green Bay by 3, Cleveland by 4,
I love where your head's
Miami by 3, and that's it. So there's your 5. So it's one of these things where Detroit by 2. Yeah, you're right. They're annoying. Tennessee is, I should say. They don't do what you expect them to do. They're a groin-punching kind of a team. I see them coming in the back door here and getting inside of this 5.5 here just to lose by probably 5 right on the nose. So my pick would be Indy wins, but for our purposes here, I would take the points in Tennessee.
Yeah, the Colts are one of it's interesting. I've referenced this, I think, just about every week now, ever since you and I both kind of realized that we were early on it, too. A lot of people were still laughing when the Colts.
Yeah.
I remember when they had beaten Tennessee, when they beat Tennessee the first time, and that put them at, what did that put them at? I think put them at 4-3 for the year when they beat Tennessee the first time. Remember that game against Miami? We talked about the importance.
We did.
That's been the springboard. I mean, this is a Colts team that has now won 6 of its last 7 games.
Yeah.
The only loss to New England. In New England, no shame there.
Chuck Strong, yo.
Yeah, I'll say this. It's going to be interesting because New England's going to take a step, or not New England, pardon me, Indianapolis is going to take a step back next year, I think.
Sure.
I think they're overachieving this year. It's the Chuck, and by the way, why don't you be nice? I think Bruce Arians is a legitimate coach of the year contender.
The thing that I find hilarious as a bitter Browns fan, some stupid team out there is going to take a flyer on Bruce Arians and believe that this guy is actually worth a wet crap as a head coach, which is going to be hilarious. I just hope it's a team I don't like so I can laugh
at them. Am I wrong what I said, though? You may not like the man. For what they've, I mean,
they're playing for Chuck Pagano. You might as well put a cardboard cutout on
it. He's not there, though. Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to coach. Somebody's got to manage. That's a tough situation. Look at New Orleans. Your boy Joe Vitt, okay, and Stone Cold Jonathan Vilma. How are they doing without their coach?
Not very well.
Yeah, and then Drew Brees, who we don't like.
Yeah.
But I was going to say your boy, then I realized you don't like him.
I don't like him either.
I like the over in this game. This isn't not a recommended
you like
play.
The over? Okay.
Yeah, but if you want to get a little exotic, Tennessee is really horrible. If they hadn't beaten Miami 37-3 a couple weeks ago on the road, their point differential would be about as bad as any team in the league.
One of those big WTF specials of the year. You're going to look back on
their
that,
other
like,
three
what
wins.
Happened?
Tennessee's other three wins this year, besides that, were by 3 at home over Detroit, a wild 44-41 game. By 3 over Pittsburgh on a Thursday when they were getting a Thursday night home game, and then by 1 at the gun over Buffalo. Tennessee is a very bad team. I'm with you, though. The Colts, I don't want to lay this many points with them, though.
They are. And for Mike Munchak, who likes to fire cancer victims, it sure looks like what goes around is going to come around in his case here with Bud Adams. He's already been put on notice. So,
if the Colts win this game, aren't they pretty much in the playoffs?
They are.
Four. I mean, the last game of the year, they're probably going to draw a Houston team that's resting its starters.
Maybe 2 of the last 3 weeks to some degree. Houston won't be going full on.
Houston,
starting to segue into that.
Well, that's next week.
Yeah.
I mean, if Houston were to beat New England, They're also getting Houston on a short week off the New England game. More on that later on, sports fans. But then they're at Kansas City, too, in between. I mean, the Indianapolis Colts have made the playoffs, ladies and gentlemen.
They have.
And we said it. You know, I don't think I ever finished what we referenced. You and I both said six that they'll be better solely because of Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Even we didn't think they'd be this good. I think we both had them 6-10.
And I said to you off air.
They've already won 8 games.
You and I kind of split the difference between the last two seasons, but this year has shown, and it is a tremendous testament to Peyton Manning when you take him out of there from last year, they're much closer to the team they were 2 years ago than last year.
Oh, yeah. Without question. They've beaten. Look.
But we did the safe thing, I'm not ever going to bash myself for doing the safe thing because it's the safe thing for a reason. A lot of times it ends up playing out in that middle zone. But you and I basically split the difference. They're far closer to the team of 2 years ago.
They are. We both knew Luck would be good, but not this good. I mean, it's
this
ridiculous.
Quick, I knew he would be this good at some point.
I mean, 2 years ago.
Sure.
I thought he was better than half the quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's a fringe top 10 quarterback already.
Yeah, and a fringe
he
MVP
may be top 10 quarterback. Yeah, So, I mean, hats off to him. It's just tough to lay this many points. I mean, they're much better served in the underdog role.
How fitting would it be?
By the way, Tennessee was actually favored by 3 the first time these teams met. Granted, it was in Tennessee at LP Field. But, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, they were a dog to Miami. Vegas is slowly starting to turn after last week.
Right.
They've begun to bump them up. I don't think they're still in their top 15, though.
You know what's amazing is that he won't win MVP, but it shows you there's actually a greater bias against a rookie being MVP than there is a freshman winning the Heisman, because Johnny Football is going to smash that on Saturday night.
True. Well, you know, I mean,
and
there's always
realistically, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, really.
Yeah. I mean, there's a rookie. I mean, you know, the freshman of the year is not exactly – I don't even know if there is such an award in college. But
I don't
think there's
so.
A rookie. And plus, you know, look, we both performed RG3.
Sure.
But I don't even know if Luck's going to win rookie of the year. I think they're going to do one of those lame co things.
Well, it would have to split out exactly, but – you know, and if
I mean, granted, you can't fix it, but I mean, there's been co-MVPs before.
If people point to the 94 NBA Rookie of the Year co-award here, look, if it was that easy to do, Miguel Cabrera and Mike Trout would each be walking around with half an MVP.
Yeah, that's
rigging
very true.
Rigging these votes are not easy.
You're true.
You know, we go from a team like the Colts.
John Kennedy would beg to differ, by the way.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have Daly and the Chicago machine to fall back on anymore. This next one here, Kyle, you've taken a pass on a number of games this year. Even though, again, it goes at the expense of my overall record, what the hell? I mean, that's part of my gimmick. I'm gonna play every game. I haven't seen a game this year I wanted to stay off of as badly as this. Characteristically, I'll make a pick, but I hate this game more than anyone I've seen all season. The 5-7 Jets at the 2-10 Jaguars. Jets are laying 2.5 on the road. It was 1 earlier in the week. I'm going to guess that the Sanchez getting reinstated as starting quarterback had nothing to do with the line move in the Jets' favor here. But be that as it may, and the fact that, again, I think Sanchez is going to struggle yet again in this circumstance, I go back to the fact that, again, neither defense is real great, Shakes, but I keep coming back to this, that when you're looking at the run defenses for both teams and the pass defenses for both teams, the best of the four units by far is the Jets' pass defense. Hence, I think Chad Henne's going to have a tougher time against what he's matched up, and I think, you know, Sanchez certainly is going to have an easier secondary to work with here. They're gonna use Green to keep pounding the ball, which again, that's gonna work better against Jacksonville than it will most teams. A team giving up an even 144 yards a game on the ground. I'll take the Jets to cover. I mean, I hate myself for making a pick in this game at all, but I'll take the Jets laying the 2.5.
Are you putting? You know, it's funny. The Jets' remaining schedule is very easy. 3 road games, but it's Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Buffalo are those 3 road games, and they have a home game with San Diego.
Yeah.
All those winnable, but – and they did beat Indianapolis. So if they won out the Jets, which I'm not saying is going to happen, they're just too inept to let that to have that occur, they do have an outside chance at the playoffs, believe it or not.
That's amazing.
But They're not going to get there. I could see them losing this game, but here's the problem. I just saw this. Jacksonville gave up 232 yards rushing to Buffalo last week. Oy vey.
Yeah.
A pass. I mean, this is a pass for me. I'm not playing you these teams.
Yeah, that's smart. You're smarter than I am in laying
off. The Jets did
one.
Win last week, by the way.
They did. They did.
Over an Arizona team that, by the way, I thought I was like looking for, when I remember I said before the year they'd win five games?
Yeah.
They started 4-0. I was humiliated. My face was red. I didn't want to talk about them. All of a sudden, five wins looking pretty good.
Something I learned a long time ago from a fellow FDH Lounge original dignitary, Nate Noy here. Most things in life will regress or progress to the mean.
Oh, yeah.
And Arizona has certainly proven us right on that one here. There's a team that you it's very rare that I get set up for a segue as good as this one, but I'll take it. It's very rare that I have a chance to set up here like this. Atlanta, you've been waiting for them to regress to the mean all year long.
They haven't.
A team with only one loss thus far. They are laying 3.5 at Carolina. And, again, I've been much higher on Atlanta during the season than you have. One of the things I keep looking at here, though, having said all of that, is that the smart money, from what I can see, seems to be lining up on Carolina. Plus, the Falcons, who have had, and people keep pointing to this year, their improved defense, the fact that they've been better. They have been, but if you look at both their rushing yards and passing yards against, it's a little more of a bend-but-don't-break situation. The way that you couple that with the fact of the way that Newton's been playing the last couple of weeks, I like Carolina to get within that 3.5.
I like your hat.
Maybe to win outright. I don't think so, but I think they could certainly lose it by 3, and that would mean you play Carolina.
This is the second of my big three this week. Carolina is... I mean, if I'm going to play this game, you know which side I'm going. I thought for sure you'd be on Atlanta. I'm a little surprised.
I try to mix it up.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Carolina had Atlanta dead to rights in that first meeting.
Yep.
In the Georgia Dome, one of Atlanta's several close wins this year. It was a 30-28 game. Ron Rivera, as he is akin to do, completely screwed up the final minutes by Cam Newton, if you remember. Fumbled after he converted a third down. The ball was recovered, but it was then short. Rivera then inexplicably punted, despite the fact he's a 6'6 quarterback who had just gotten 3rd-and-1. Why he wouldn't have gotten 4th-and-1, I don't know. And this was in Atlanta territory. It wasn't deep in Atlanta territory. They weren't in field goal range. They were, if I remember, about the Atlanta 45. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he didn't go for it again. They punted. It was a nice punt. Next thing you know, Matt Ryan dropped a 50-yard bomb, and they wound up kicking the winning field goal. I just think this is a natural letdown spot for the Falcons. They avenged their only loss of the season. They beat New Orleans last Thursday in the Georgia Dome. In typical Falcon fashion, they made it very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I know there were a lot of people holding their breath on that review when New Orleans returned that fumble. I thought they were going to lose the cover.
Sure.
Falcons held on, but they were bailed out by a horrible game from Drew Brees, too.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta's a team. It's funny. You talk about me kind of being lower on Atlanta than most people.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually got them higher right now than I've probably had them all year. 3. I have them actually as the top NFC team. Just because these other NFC teams, I just keep seeing flaws.
Right.
And while I don't think the Falcons' ceiling is as high as teams such as the Giants, the Niners, or the Packers, they are more consistent. Still not going to be crazy about them in that divisional round when they're hosting one of those teams, you know, a Giants or a Green Bay or a Chicago, possibly in the divisional round. But as for here, natural, they have the Giants next. Speaking of the Giants, they have the Giants at home next week. So I see the Falcons being a little distracted here.
Yeah.
Carolina, they're like, oh boy, what happened to them? What happened to them? Another a team that I think is better than its record.
Ron Rivera.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been critical of him all year. But, I mean, look at some of their losses. Okay, they were blown out by the Giants. They were blown out by Denver. But other than that, lost by 2 to Atlanta, 4 to Seattle, 5 to Dallas, 1 to Chicago, 6 to Tampa and OT, 6 to KC last week. They're always competitive, so I see them, although they haven't been good in revenge spots. I'm seeing here they're 0-6 with same-season revenge the last 3 years. It's against the spread. Carolina's my second big pick this week.
Okay.
Second of my big three.
Second of your big three. This next one is very interesting. We just covered two teams in the NFC South. One more is the home team in this next one here. 6-6 Tampa Bay hosting 3-9 Philadelphia, a team that has truly had the bottom fall out from underneath its season, and that is one hell of an understatement. Tampa Bay is laying 7.5 in this one. Had been 9 earlier in the week, interestingly enough. This is one, again, in talking to you off air, we seem to have the same kind of a sense in this one here. As much as I like Tampa Bay, and I'm a little bit more prone than you are to believe that they're for real, and by for real, I mean the fringiest of fringe playoff contenders at this point in time here in the NFC. 7.5, I don't know. Trust me, they're not nearly as overvalued as the Browns are right now, for example, but they may still be a little bit overvalued. Philadelphia, they're the kind of team that just kind of sneaks up at this point when you least expect it because they have mailed in the season. I don't think Philly's going to win this one on the road, but I would be anything but surprised if they stayed inside of the 7.5. So I'm going to say take the points.
Interesting here that we have the worst point spread team in the league, Philadelphia, against the best, Tampa Bay. 2-9-1 against 9-2-1. But the Bucs seem just a little overvalued here, don't they? And, you know, I think we both kind of said the Eagles, as ugly as they'd been, should stay within the number. They were leading Dallas at the half last Sunday night. My question, though, is, I mean, they don't – it just seems that they're another team like San Diego that's just not backable. I've got a pass here. Tampa Bay really needs this game off the back-to-back losses to Atlanta and Denver. They're back home. They've got a huge division game at New Orleans next week.
This is their easiest remaining game by far.
Well, they've got St. Louis at home, too. That should be a win.
Should be. St. Louis as
well. I could see them losing at both New Orleans and Atlanta. Tampa Bay is going to, regardless of how they do in this game, they're going to fall just short of the playoffs.
Sure.
But they've been better than I thought they would. I just can't make a decision here. I can't. This is a pass.
All right.
This is a pass.
Okay. Honestly, and I'll tell you what, I feel even better about my pick of Philadelphia. I hadn't done the math on this like you had, the 9-2-1, 2-9-1 dealio here. Here's why I feel even better about Philadelphia after hearing that, because you and I always talk about this, and I feel like doing the show this year, I've learned a little bit more here about how to follow smart money and Vegas trends and everything like that. Everything that is done in Vegas with setting the number is a science. And what I said earlier on in an unrelated context, regression to the mean, progression to the mean. You tell me two teams have those records against the spread,
yeah.
I'm going the other way.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, normally I would too, but Philly, I just question their heart.
Sure.
I question their heart right now. There just aren't many. Them and San Diego are very difficult to back right now.
Well, and if I may quote,
they have talent, but I just think they've quit.
If I may quote Ahmad from the Bad News Bears, the original Bad News Bears back in the day, yeah, their heart's pumping Kool-Aid, no
yeah.
question about it. You know, but by the same token, I think they can stay inside of the number. That's all that really counts in this situation.
Close only
here.
Counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
True.
And betting on the NFL.
And, yeah, covering your plays. You talked a minute ago about that Tampa should beat St. Louis at home, and they'll be favored. The next game here involves St. Louis in another road situation here. Having said that, St. Louis is only, at this point, a half game back of Tampa in this thing. If you consider Tampa to be a fringe playoff team here, you have to say the same thing about the 5-6-1 Rams. They're at the 5-7 Bills here this week as the Pitt Smarts Voda crew from Fox is on this one. And this is one where, as I'm looking at this, Buffalo's laying 3. I really kind of struggled on this. On a neutral field, I like and respect. I can't tell you right now the gulf between that I have as far as my respect for the Rams and where they're at and how they're building it and the Bills, who are the same up-and-down crap franchise they've ever been. But I just keep coming back to on the road in December. I can't get behind the Rams in this circumstance here. I don't think that the Bills have any momentum coming off of beating Jacksonville last week. And I do think that the Rams probably do have a little bit of momentum coming off of that San Francisco game. They certainly proved a whole hell of a lot more. Again, I'm going to defer to the weather on this one here. Bills to cover the 3 in my estimation.
See, I kind of look at it, maybe I misheard you a little differently with the momentum.
Yeah.
I view this as a letdown spot for the Rams. I know they beat the 49ers. Sometimes when a team plays above itself like that.
Well, they got Minnesota, another team at the fringe of it next week. So this could be a potential sandwich game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I don't think the Rams are going to get there. Here's the thing. Buffalo, by the way, what do you think about this scenario? I thought about this. What about Alex Smith being their starting quarterback next year? Chances? Greater than 15%.
Didn't Fitzpatrick just get that swank new deal at the end of last year?
Yeah, there's always. Let me tell you, I know that you're a Republican. There's always ways to get out of those deals. Isn't there?
Well, maybe he'll be another one of these Obamacare-caused layoffs.
Here we go.
You asked for it.
All right.
I think they can aim higher than Alex Smith. Any team that is settling for Alex Smith at this point here.
You talk about motivated. He'd be motivated. Fitzpatrick is
not a high-ceiling quarterback.
No, he's not. Which is why the Kaepernick's
better to draft somebody. Better to draft my colleague, Nate Noy's idol in life, Geno Smith, right now. Better to draft somebody like that than to go with Alex Smith.
Okay, very interesting.
Yeah.
Can they draft a new coach? Because that Chan Gailey's coaching for his job down the stretch.
He's done, yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. You talk about the Rams' playoff chances. I actually like the Bills' playoff chances more. You mentioned this last week.
Their schedule
and
the rest of the way is unbelievable.
I mentioned this very early in the year, that if they could navigate the first half of their schedule and be 500, they'd be in good shape. They weren't able to do that, and that's why they're going to come up short in the playoffs. Losses to Tennessee, Indianapolis, to name a couple. But they've got St. Louis at home here, obviously. Seattle on the neutral field. It's technically a home game in Toronto next week. At Miami, and then the Jets. They could conceivably, well, they'll probably lose one of those games. But still, 4-1 finish is kind of what I was thinking. Before the year started, which is why I thought they could maybe backdoor their way in. I didn't think the AFC would be kind of as... Yeah, I think it's going to take 10 wins to get in the AFC playoffs this year.
I think so.
But, which I didn't before the year. This is one of my big picks, though. I like Buffalo a lot as I babble incoherently.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you why. They've been inconsistent, but one of the roles they've been consistent in this year, when favored. They beat Kansas City. They covered against Kansas City, covered against Cleveland. Did not cover against Tennessee. You know, that was a killer for there. But they also were in position to, gave up a late touchdown. But covered against Miami on Thursday night. Covered against Jacksonville last week. So they're 4-1 straight up and against the number one favored this year. St. Louis let down spot off the win over the Niners. And I'll tell you what, the Rams are great against NFC West teams. Against everyone else, they've been the Rams, quite frankly. I think all of their wins, with the exception of Washington in week two, have been NFC West games. They only have one non-division win.
That's one of the more inexplicable phenomena out there.
Well, because I think they're built to beat those. A lot of the NFC West teams are built very similarly, and it's cold as well. This is an indoor team playing outdoors in December.
True. I was going to say one of the inexplicable phenomena of
nature.
But
I like Buffalo for that. So, I mean, yeah, not a lot of success outside the division. Buffalo, pretty small number.
But the NFC West has really improved.
Oh, yeah,
and that's
for sure.
That's why I find it to be inexplicable, somewhat akin to folks who don't quite understand the Laffer curve and the way that works. But speaking of another one of these NFC West teams here,